bug me. All right, go Gox.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right. Movie the Podcast. It is
TV
the
movie, the
last
podcast.
little bit of Scary Movie October. That's right.
Yeah.
We really embraced it this time. Thematically, we
Oh
nailed
boy.
it. And,
Before we started recording, Gogs, Alec and I, how did you ever remember this totally unremarkable
do
film?
you want me to tell you specifically, or do you want to wait?
Well, first, I guess I should say, this week we watched Don't Go to Sleep from like 1985,
82's Don't Go
82.
to Sleep.
Yeah.
Starring Rhoda. Remember Rhoda?
No.
You didn't watch
No,
Rhoda?
from I thought she was from something. Rhoda was from something else.
She was a spin-off of Mary Tyler Moore. Like, she was a
That's
side
right.
character on Mary Tyler Moore, and then they gave her own show.
I don't know. Who is
Rhoda.
she? The mom?
Yeah, she was the mom.
Oh.
She had the
In
most
a weird way, in this movie turns into like the main character kind of by the end of it.
It's strange. This movie is like, here's I have a couple things that number one,
Yes.
I didn't ever say this was a good movie. It's just a movie that
No, to
remained
be
with
fair, you never did, but it stuck in your mind, and I don't know what could have possibly stuck in your mind
There
from this
are
film.
two scenes
Yeah.
specifically that have
Okay.
lived rent-free in my head since, I guess, the mid-80s. Like, I don't know
Sure. You
when.
probably replayed it on TV at some
Like, I
point,
was
I'm
born in
sure.
1980, right? So I didn't watch it when I was two, I don't
Sure,
think.
of
And it
course.
certainly didn't make an impact then. But I bet I wouldn't be surprised if this showed up on, like, the horror movie theater,
Yeah, it
right?
probably
Or one of
showed up
those,
like Channel
like
54.
a UHF channel, right?
Yeah,
So there's
exactly.
two things that have stayed with me, and it is, for some reason, it is the scene of the pizza cutter rolling up the banister. I don't know
Okay.
why, but
That's
that
like
stuck with me.
almost the very end of the movie, you know.
It's like there's something just weird and eerie about it, and I've never seen a pizza cutter look menacing before. And two is the very end when the big reveal happens and the little girl's shoelaces are tied and she's stuck in the car screaming and then car explodes. Those two things stuck with, those are the words I had to Google to find this movie. It was like movie where a girl dies in car fire with, and there's the pizza cutter scene. And they were like,
Found it.
1982's Don't Go to Sleep.
God damn it, I would have think just pizza cutter would have been enough.
He probably was. I probably overdid it.
Yeah, and shout out to the Internet Archive, which is a wonderful website. You can find all kinds of shit there. And I found this there. That's how we watched this movie. And if you watched it on the Plex, you also got to watch some
It was
like
like Dr.
internet.
McMonster or
Yeah,
something, or
some
like.
like really bad like internet-based like Elvira type show or
My
what's
man did not care about copyright because he was just like, I'm gonna put this out there.
Well, yeah, I
My
mean,
name's like
who is claiming the
Steve
copyright for
Mega
this?
Demon. I mean, someone must own it.
Yeah, but like who cares? You know what I mean? Like I don't think Tori or what's his name? Spelling, Aaron Spelling is coming after you for this one. I don't know. But yeah,
Yeah.
this guy was some, I've never heard of him before, but he's like a Svengoolie type character and he hosts like it. And when I first put it on, I thought it was like a recording from like a television broadcast. But no, it's even worse.
It's
It's a
from the
recording
internet.
from an internet broadcast and
He's
he is
not good
awful.
at his job.
No,
No.
he's, you know who'd be good at that job? You.
Ah,
Like
I
you,
don't
I
know.
could see like a ghoulish Gogs character.
I want to see you dressed up like a vampire introduce this
Yeah.
shit.
I think you'd be great at it, to be honest. I was like this when I was watching this guy who again is so uncharismatic that I don't even remember his stupid name. Like this guy's got like juice.
It wasn't famed movie introducer Joe Bob Briggs, was it?
No, that
No, it
guy's
was not.
great. See that
That guy
guy,
rules.
the
that's
guy's
a
name was literally something like Bob McMonster. It was like
Yeah.
McDemon or
I don't
something. It
know. No,
was
Joe
a
Bob
terrible.
Briggs.
I did not watch the Plex version. I watched it on YouTube. You should so watch, I can watch the, it at 1.5 time speed.
You should watch the Plex version just to fast forward to those interstitials. You'll be unpleasantly surprised.
Oh, is it like, weird as he cut it?
Did he come in like in the where the commercial breaks?
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, not in cut it. Not in every commercial break. Poorly. But yes.
Yeah, because I noticed that the Plex version was like 15 minutes longer than
that's the version
I watched. The one I watched was like 1:32.
Yeah. Well, he cut it in such a way where he was talking about things as if they had happened, but they had not happened yet in the movie. he got his sequence wrong.
What a spooky pizza cutter.
He was literally spoiling the film.
He's like, I can't believe her face exploded.
I should have fucking looked him up. I bet he's still doing that somewhere.
Oh, without question.
You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking as I was watching it, I was like, I've probably been in a room with this guy. He's probably been at, like, Monster Mania or, you know, one of the horror shows that I've been to.
He has a nondescript middle of the East Coast accent, so he very well could. He could be he gives off Baltimore vibes. Like, he's got, like, Baltimore basement all over him.
I just think it's funny because, like, I mean, you know, I guess this is possibly hypocritical, but like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, we have a little bit of juice, right? There's a little bit of charisma. We're fun. We make some fun jokes once in a while. But like, if you just are like devoid of personality, why would you do this? Like, he had a vulture puppet that he didn't do anything with. I was like, when I saw the puppet, I was like, oh, cool, a puppet. I love puppets.
He got a bit. No, and it was so poorly mixed. I had to turn it down every time he came on screen. Because he was like, next thing you know, like the movie was whispering to me, then he's screaming at me.
I'm going to spoil it, though. Those were the only things I enjoyed about the movie.
I'll keep it a buck. Like, I didn't hate the movie.
I cannot say the same.
I think it's not good, but I thought it was like, you know, I want to throw it out to the group. Do you think at all?
No, I don't.
that Ari Aster had any knowledge of this film before making Hereditary, because there's themes and elements. Not.
Okay,
fair enough.
No, no.
All right.
Please, you're giving this movie way too much fucking credit.
These are the thoughts I had.
I mean, if anything, it's a fucking ghost movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's a vengeful spirit movie.
Yeah.
It's like all the body counts in the second half and it happens right. I think it's all in the third act. Like, it just starts happening.
Yeah, and it's on TV, so you can't really, like, do anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
No, you can't do anything.
And again, you don't have to be, like, gory or anything, but, like, they can't even, like, show, like, kills. Like, everybody that dies off screen, and it's, yeah.
Or they fall off screen. Yeah, are they?
But
right.
Also, I mean, we'll get into it, but, like, how the sun dies, like, would that really kill you? That really wasn't that far off the ground.
I mean, if you land on your neck, yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you landed on your neck.
I mean, hell, you and me could trip and die now.
I mean,
we're only 5-6 feet off the ground.
Yeah, sure, and you can drown in an inch of water and all that. But like, come on, I don't know. I get it, but
Services the plot.
We will get into this, our feature presentation momentarily. But as always, I turn to you, like a flower leads towards the sun. It's, I don't know where I pulled that from. It's from an old dance song. What did y'all watch this week?
I watched two things.
Two things?
Things?
One was good and one was bad.
One was bad. Start with the bad one.
The bad one was SNL film Superstar.
Oh.
The Molly Shannon vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I didn't care for the character on SNL.
I was going to say the character
SNL, though.
The character kind of.
I like Molly Shannon too, but the character was like.
Yeah, I did not either. Did not care for the character. It's one of those, it was like in the SNL kind of heyday where like every character got a movie for like a few years.
Yeah.
Or Michael Sather just slinging.
even though the Ladies' Man was the only Ladies' Man and Night of the Roxbury from that period were the only ones worth it.
Yeah, those are
Wayne's good. World. Wayne's World was before that.
And MacGruber was after.
I'm yeah. surprised they didn't give her the fucking old lady that was like, I'm 50 years old. Why did that turn into a movie?
Oh my God.
Remember that character?
I don't know. I always felt that Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer stole too much of Sherry O'Terry's shine.
Yes.
Not that they can't have more than one funny woman on the show, but I thought Sherry O'Terry was the funniest of all of them.
Yeah,
and she didn't get nearly she didn't get nearly the run the other two did, but that's my own personal hang up.
I don't disagree.
I can't even remember what happened in the movie. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was really high.
A real sign of quality.
I was super high.
Oh, then you should have liked it. I mean, I feel like that's the optimal way to watch.
No, that's not true because this like your senses are enhanced. You could just be like ready to laugh and just be disappointed by the fact that they never come.
Mm. Yeah, it was not good. Like I couldn't, I think Mark McKeon is in it as the priest at the Catholic school.
Right.
I can't remember.
From all the Christopher Guest movies?
Well, in Kids in the Hall. No, not Mark McKeon. Who's the one that's
talking about? Who are you talking about, Gog?
Michael McKeon.
I'm talking about Mark McKinney, not Michael McKeon.
Okay.
Mark McKinney.
Gotcha.
He was in Superstore as the manager of the store. And he had a short run on SNL, like a year or two. But he's also in Kids in the Hall, I'm pretty sure. He plays like the priest at the Catholic school she goes to. I honestly, God, can't even remember shit for the plot. I just remember not finding it funny, even though I was stoned out of my mind.
That's
That same night, before that, I watched a movie that I love, but I don't love quite as much as I used to, but I still like it. I Love You, Man.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen that movie in years, but I remember
loving it.
I'm seeing I Love You, Man memes pop up lately. It's gotten me want to revisit it.
At one point, I probably would have said that was my favorite of like all those Judd Apatow and Apatow adjacent.
Yeah.
Movies. And it's not bad by any stretch. I still enjoyed it.
Sure.
But Jason Segel's character in that movie with all his like rules.
Yeah.
Really irritates me now. It's like, just chill out, man. Like,
right.
You got like rules for everything and like, you gotta be, men are meant to scream and be barbarians. Like, just chill out, bro.
Like, is it because Andrew Tate wasn't invented yet? Well, is it one of those things where it's like back then you're like, oh, nobody could be this ridiculous. And now you got like 50,000 YouTube channels. It's like, this is the way men should be. Like reality has ruined the joke.
Yeah, probably. And he wasn't even to that level in the movie.
Right.
Like, he wasn't even odd tenth as bad as these guys are, but it's still like irritating.
Yeah, I get that. But
the two of them have fantastic chemistry. And really, like, Paul Rudd does everybody in the movie. It's a tremendous cast. The two of them, John Favreau is the wife's, or is Rashida Jones's, what's her name? Her friend Jamie Presley, his husband, and he's just a complete fucking dick. He's so good. Andy Samberg's good in it. J.K. Simmons. I think Jane Curtin is the mom. She's the mom on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she was definitely like the comedy mom in many, many things.
She's also the mom in The Heat. And when she's introduced in that movie, like, Melissa McCarthy's walking down the street and she like slow drives by in her minivan and flips her off. It's like, fuck you. And Sandra Bullock's, oh God, the joke's great. Sandra Bullock's like, who's that? She's like, oh, that was my mom.
Right. Yeah. That movie's pretty great.
That movie's tremendous.
Yeah.
But I Love You, Man is still fun. It's still a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
Lou Ferrigno is in it.
Lou Ferrigno, right?
Still alive. Yeah. As himself. He's trying to sell his mansion, which has a big statue of him in the backyard. But that movie's fun. I think seeing a lot of those movies again recently, probably in like the past 6 months.
Yeah.
I would say that The Originator is still the best, even though I would say, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, even though it's got some like
Oh yeah, that movie's great.
Problematic jokes and stuff in it now that are not appropriate, and some like language is not appropriate. It's still really fucking funny. And Steve Carell just kills it in that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I watched. I watched a few TV shows. I watched Bad Monkey on Apple TV, the Vince Vaughn show.
The hell is that?
It's really good.
Never heard of it.
It came out, I don't know how long ago it came out, but it finished up like a few weeks ago.
Is it about a monkey?
There's a monkey in it.
Hell yeah. Already in. Sold.
He's a former police detective who was disgraced for going after his girlfriend's boyfriend because she was cheating on her husband. She was cheating on her with Vince Vaughn. So he attacked him and got kicked off the force. But then there's this like job that comes up and the cops ask him to help out with it because he has experience or something. It's honestly really good. He's in it. Really, most of the actors are kind of no name. Michelle Moynihan is in it.
I like her.
Scott Glenn's in it for like an episode or two, and he's really good. Scott Glenn, that's Stick from Daredevil, right? That's Scott Glenn. Yeah.
Yep.
He's really good, but most of the actors are like not known actors, but I thought it was excellent. What else do I watch? Right now we're in the middle of season two of Tulsa King, which is not as good as season one, but it's still a blast. Sylvester Stallone in that show is just so like, it seems like he's just kind of ad-libbing everything. Like he just like, it seems like he's having a great time with a bunch of his friends just making a show.
That's cool.
Not like in the Expendables where it's not fun.
Right. He's having a lot of fun, but we're also having fun watching it. Unlike the Expendables where I want to jump off a bridge.
Exactly. You got it. Oh, there's something else we watched too. I forget what it was. Well, I guess that's everything. TJ.
I watched two things. Also one that was really good and one that was really bad. Following Alex Lead, I'll do the really bad one first. I watched a Netflix movie called It's What's Inside. This is a movie that has been talked about a lot on the internet, and I saw a lot of people talking about it being like their favorite movie of the year. And they're throwing around comparisons like mindfuck movies like Primer and Coherence. And I'm like, okay. And then Coherence. I watched it.
Is Coherence that one with the dinner party?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a weird movie.
I love that movie. I think that movie's awesome. But I love that kind of shit. I love like stuff where you fuck with time or reality and you don't know what's what. Yeah, that's my jam. I love that kind of stuff. Anyway, What's Inside is garbage. I hated it. It felt like something I'd watch on like UPN. Like the acting is really bad. The editing is like absolutely horrendous. Like it's this fucking like speedball, like, I don't know, like TikTok-esque kind of editing all the time. And I hate that. Like I feel like so many newer movies do that now, and it's just this, I just find it just grating to watch. Like, the premise is great, and I thought the premise is interesting. The problem, well, let me explain the premise real quick. So this group of friends is having a party because one of the friends is getting married. Now that in and of itself is kind of strange to me because like you'd either, if someone's getting married, right, you'd either have like a bachelorette party or a bachelor party or whatever, you know what I mean? Like something like that. But in this movie, like they just had like a big party. I mean, I guess that's not that weird. It's just,
I mean, people have like engagement parties.
I mean, that's what it was, I guess. I don't know.
They have like Jack and Jill, like combined bachelor.
I don't know, I don't know real people. So maybe that's the problem, but it seemed a little odd to me, but anyhow. So they have this big party and there's interpersonal drama between all of them. And, basically this one friend that they haven't talked to in a long time, who is like the weirdo of the group, shows up. And the funniest part of this movie, intentionally or unintentionally, they found a guy that looks exactly like Mark Zuckerberg, and he is a tech guy. and he has this machine that everybody hooks up to this machine, right? And he flips a switch and you change bodies with somebody else.
Okay? I get Freaky Friday'd.
Yes, I guess.
That's my guess. That's exactly what happens in the movie.
I don't know. I only know the song.
But in the Freaky Friday verse, it's accidental. It's like a magician or lightning bolt or something, right?
I've never seen it.
I don't know. Errant wish, perhaps?
I've never seen either of them, the old one or the newer one.
But anyway, so anyway, you switch bodies once this machine's hooked up to you, and you don't, so the idea of the movie is that they play this game and they have to try to guess who's who and who's in their bodies and blah, blah, blah. And then, things get progressively like crazier. And then there's this whole thing about, who's who. And that's great. That sounds like a really cool premise. The problem is when all the characters have the depth of a fucking shallow puddle in a concrete sidewalk, I don't care who switches with who because all the characters are the fucking same. It was like, oh, you're Alex. Oh, you're Blake. It's like, I don't know the difference between the two of them in the first place. So what difference?
Then we just started furiously jacking off.
I was going to say the first thing everybody does is masturbate.
That's like clutch. Like that's the
if
movie.
Not, then it's not a realistic movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's stupid. And then there's a ramping up of tension because there's something like pretty dramatic that happens. But the problem is that takes place an hour into the fucking movie. And I'm like, I'm so checked out of this fucking movie by now. I don't care what just happened. I could give a shit. Now, a better movie would have maybe introduced the premise way earlier and done this thing that happens that's kind of crazy. Pretty much right away, and then that's your whole movie. But instead, it neanders around for so fucking long, or meanders around so fucking long, that I could not care. And again, it's filled with just awful dialogue, awful acting, terrible editing, and I could not care about this movie at all. And also, tonally, the movie is a mess, because it's I think at some points it's trying to be a comedy, and then it's trying to be a suspense movie. I hated this thing so much. I thought this was awful. I talked about it on the TikTok that I made for it, but I broke the TJ rule because I watched it on Saturday night and I watched it for about 15 minutes and I was like, oh, this sucks. I turned it off. I was like, I can't, this is awful. It's a terrible movie. Everything that I just complained about was present in the first 15 minutes, and I was like, I'm done. I turned it off. And then after football yesterday, I was like, I don't really have a whole lot to talk about on the show. I guess I better fucking go back and watch it.
I'm feeling too good after this Commanders win. I better bring myself down some.
Basically, yeah. Oh, my God. I was like the fucking Flash in Kingdom Come. I was just shaking. My God. It's so bad, and I should never break my rule. I should have just watched something else. I do not recommend What's Inside. I hated it. And to compare it to something like a Time Crimes or like a fucking Coherence is a fucking insult. I hated this movie so much. The other movie I watched is Takashi Miike. Now it's a Shinya Tsukamoto movie that I've never seen. The guy that made Tetsuo the Iron Man, one of my favorite movies. It was called Haze. He put it out in 2006. Something I've always heard about and never got a chance to watch. I loved it. It is a very weird mix-up of David Lynch and Saw. basically, the movie is what if you made a movie, but from the Saw, the person in the Saw traps perspective. And then it kind of does a David Lynch thing where, cause it doesn't really explain why this person is in this horrifying predicament. And then he finds another person who's in the same horrifying predicament. It doesn't really explain why they're there or what's going on. But then it does the David Lynch thing where it's kind of at the end of the movie is a role reversal and you understand the metaphor of what the first half of the movie was. I thought it was great. It's short. It's like an hour and 10 minutes long. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. I thought the music is great. Everything I like about his most of his work is just I thought the camera work was really impressive. He's the lead actor in it. Tsukamoto himself, he always puts himself in his movies, but I thought it was really interesting and really cool. And a weird parallel, it reminded me a lot of Junkhead, because the trap he is in is just this very claustrophobic, like concrete, like room. And he can't, like, every time he's about to get out of it, he like passes out and he ends up in a worse situation. Like, he's like mouth is stuck on like a metal pipe and there's like nails under his feet. But like the concrete, like the whole like concrete facade around him reminded me of how the landscape, well, in, internal landscapes, if that's a thing, the interiors of Junkhead looked. I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. I know nobody here will probably ever watch it, but I really thought it was cool. I was very impressed by it. And, Shinya Tsukamoto is one of the most underrated directors in history, and I'll die on that hill. Lastly, just real quick, because I've been on this anime kick for a while now, I watched all of this show called Kill La Kill. I loved it. I thought it was great. It's animated by the same people that made Cyberpunk Edgerunners, and it's a lot of fun. It's like very over the top and silly, but it's about this like, fascist society where like this school, this academy, it basically controls this entire society, and this girl comes from out of town and basically challenges the power structure and fights everybody. And it's like it's very much like a story of Ricky kind of thing, where she has to fight, like, to get to the big boss, she has to fight like different club members of the school. Like, the first person she fights is the head of the boxing club. Then she has to fight the head of the tennis club. And it's like, it's very silly. It's over the top. And the thing that's the most silly about it is, yes.
Not you.
The thing that's the most silly about it is that all of the characters get these superpowers from these suits, like basically like sailor suits. And hers, of course, is almost like a Venom type situation. It's like a symbiote, but her sailor suit, basically all the middle is cut out. So like her tits are constantly like basically almost out. And like the show constantly makes fun of the fact that how like ridiculous it is that her, like, she's basically naked fighting these people. And it's very like tongue in cheek. I thought it was great. It's like, it was like 20 episodes. They're 20 minutes long a piece. I got through it in like a day. I thought it was awesome. Kill La Kill, highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it. Lots and lots of fun. But that's all I watched. Gogs.
What did I watch? I watched a bunch of shit. I watched two half things and three other things. I watched
two half things.
I watched the original Terrifier. It's
I'm sorry.
Worse than the second one. I have no interest.
I put the third one on the Plex.
I'll watch it, I guess. Like,
you want to watch it, like, together? I'll come over and watch it
with you. Yeah, like I don't get it. Like I
told you the first one is horrible. Like the first one.
Yeah. No, it is. It's the second one's better than the first one, but the second one's not good.
No.
And like the first one's also not good. Like, I don't, but like people, I don't, like, I'm missing whatever the catch is. I don't understand.
It's scary clown, dude. People like scary clown.
It's not scary.
Yeah, but he looks scary.
Also mime, not clown. Like, it's,
his name is Art the Clown.
He never says it. You don't know that's his fucking name. What's assigned to him. It also should be Art the Mime. Anyway.
Art the Mime doesn't roll off the tongue.
Well, Art the Clown sucks. What do you want me to do? So, not good, right? Then I did watch Tobe Hooper's Funhouse, because we were talking about Tobe Hooper.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that, yeah.
That movie's weird. It's not as good as Chainsaw, but it's, you know, it's whatever. Then I did that thing where I let Shudder pick my next movie. So it showed me The Funhouse Massacre.
What is that?
Which, it's like, it felt very much in the same vein as what was the superhero movie with the Heartbreak Kid?
Farce Wars.
Farce Wars, Avengers of Justice.
Yeah, like this is, but it's like, it is a group of psychopaths hidden away in a secret psychopath prison that Robert Englund is in charge of somehow, get jailbreaked out by one of the psychopath's daughters, mm-hmm. and then they take over the neighboring haunted house mansion situation where all of the haunted house features are based on those psychopaths' lore. So then they all go to their own worlds. They go to their own biomes, right? So like the murderous dentist.
It sounds like a video game.
Right. So the murderous, it's Luigi's Mansion, but like the R-rated yeah. version. So the murderous dentist is in the murderous dentist quadrant of this place. The murderous taxidermist is in his place. Like, everyone's in their zone. Like everyone's like, yeah. And so then a group of teenagers, maybe 20 somethings, who knows? It's very referential. I can't tell if it wants to be scary or funny. It's neither.
It was desperately trying to hit both the Tim Stamball metrics of being funny as hell or scary as hell.
Yeah. And it was like maybe the cop who's like in charge of this small town is also the daughter of one of these psychopaths, but the daughter of one of these psychopaths is also her sister and she's the one that sprang everyone. Don't watch it.
Sounds all amazing. Right?
Do not watch The Funhouse Massacre, please and thank you. It's probably it might be a 2024 movie, actually. Like, it might have to make my list simply because it's like a 20, like not.
You desperately need to watch more movies from
well,
this
just
year.
Like, well, it's not even that. It's like, I just need to like, I acknowledge it as a 2024 release, sure. I suppose. Oh, okay. The next thing I watched, and this I only watched half of, because I got through all that, and once again, I let Shudder tell me what to watch next. I got through halfway of a movie called Bloodfest, and it's of a very similar ilk, like all
great,
these kids.
Great title, Bloodfest.
It's a good title. It's about this kid. There's a kid and his, like, him and his mom are watching horror movies one night, and then, like, an intruder breaks into their house and murders the mom, and now jump skip 18 years later, and the dad is like a psychiatrist. He's written a book about crazy people and turns out it was one of his patients came to murder his family. Now the kid's all traumatized, but he loves horror movies. So they're going to go to this thing called Bloodfest, which is like Lollapalooza for horror. And they show it's on, I want to say they said something absurd, like 700 acres of property. Right. And they're going to recreate every horror movie ever. And everyone's got like wristbands and shit, and then they show up and the doors get locked behind them, and the guy who's in charge of Bloodfest just like has a bunch of people in pig masks rev up real chainsaws and just start slaughtering everyone. So now it becomes like
I don't hate that. I mean, that sounds
right. The only I'm halfway through it. It's not great. I'll finish it. But like the only guy that's in the movie that I've recognized is Ned from the new Spider-Man movies.
Oh jeez. The inventor of sex too, that guy.
Pardon?
You haven't seen those memes?
No.
Oh, I thought I sent
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay, well anyway.
He invented sex too, dude.
That's cool.
Cause like, if sex one was so great, why didn't you invent sex too?
I guess. I mean, I would have never thought of that, but that's cool. So anyway. That movie's not good. And then the last thing I watched half of, and I will finish because I am enjoying it, but I'm waiting for it to let me down, is, Maxine, the latest Ty West entry in that trilogy of films.
For some reason, I thought you watched that last week.
No, I've not watched that yet.
You said you started watching it?
I don't think so. I don't think I started watching it last week.
I could have sworn.
I might have said I saw it was on there. I was going to watch it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like the vibes in this movie so far, pretty good. It's set in 1985. So it has all those 1980s trappings that I love. It's like not, I didn't hate X. I'll be honest with you. Like, that movie, I didn't mind. So
what about Pearl? Did you watch Pearl?
I did not watch Pearl. So, but this is the sequel to X as opposed to the, in the Pearl-iverse, like you don't need to see Pearl to watch this.
No.
And Mia Goth is pretty good. Like, she's a pretty good actress.
I don't disagree with that. I just didn't. I mean, wait till you finish the movie, but
it's got really grimy, like Son of Sam, Manson-esque serial killer, like stalking vibes. So I'm and the soundtrack slaps so far. So like, it's probably getting a little bit of rose colored glasses just because I'm so affectionate towards the time period and the setting.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, so far so good. It's like, I ain't hating it. So I will finish that. But that's everything I watched.
Right. Well, that means, and Sean's not here this week because he's, I don't know, butt fucking himself. So Gogs, please tell us what happened and don't go to sleep.
Okay. 1982's Don't Go to Sleep. Here's what happens in this film. A family is in a car and they're being annoying and they're driving somewhere. The timeline of this movie, by the way, by the time we get to the end of it, like the events that set all this in motion, judging by the ages of all the people involved, it must have happened 2 weeks ago. So it's kind of wild that everyone is at this point in their lives. But anyway.
Yeah.
Family's driving down the road. They're like, all right, we're going to our new house. We're getting our new job. Everything's going to be great. We're picking up grandma because grandma can't take care of herself, or she's going to move in with us and blah, 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 yakety schmackety. And they roll up the driveway, whatever this, you know, manse is. And grandma's already there, not smoking a cigarette, demanding the movers put the TV in.
Go ahead. This is after about 20 minutes of long shots what's that kind of car called? God damn it.
It's like a station wagon.
Station wagon. Yeah. A station wagon just driving on the freeway.
Yes, there's a lot of station wagon.
Over and over.
And over, over, over. It just keeps going. That is true. Like, they were trying to fill up, I guess, film. I mean, it's a made-for-TV movie. They move into the house. They get settled in, right? Rhoda is there. This guy who's not Michael Gross is there. The grandma's there. There's the son. There's the daughter. Everyone breaks up into their rooms, does their thing. The Rhoda is talking to her husband about, he's looking at a slide rule in bed, talking about, I guess, how he got fired because everyone got laid off, but now he's starting a new job at some science factory or something. She's just trying to get the house settled. Their daughter, everyone's... Night one, everyone goes to sleep. There's like noises and goofiness. And the next thing you know, the daughter's screaming because her bed is on fire. Dad rushes in. They take the little girl away. They don't call the fire department, I don't think, which is like an insane flex. They're like, well, we can handle this at home. Like,
yeah, we'll just put this out real quick.
They beat the fire out with towels. And then they're like, all right. And then like later there's a part where they're inspecting the bed. They're like, there's no structural damage. I was like, what are you even talking about? But anyway, now the daughter's traumatized because who wouldn't be waking up in a pool of flames? And they blame it on an old lamp that should have never moved with them with bad wiring. And they think that they accuse the daughter of smoking in bed because they're like, the grandma smokes in bed sometimes and she's going to light herself on fire. And the grandma's
also, the grandma fucking smoking in bed is fucking hilarious. Like, and also she said she quit smoking. So she just holds a cigarette in her mouth the whole time without lighting it, which is funny.
Like, yeah, right.
Well, at least I assume the quality of this movie looks like, because of the TV, again, it's ripped from TV. So it looks like it's shot on a fucking potato. So it's hard to tell. So it's hard to tell in some scenes what's exactly going on, but
yeah,
I assume it's not lit.
No, I mean, nothing about this movie is lit. So, So the grandma's like yelling. Grandma's a pain in the ass. Nobody's like, no one's happy. Everyone's mad at each other. The little brother's being a dick about it because his sister almost got lit on fire. She's got to go live in his bunk bed zone. She hears a monster. She freaks out. Like, they go get mom and dad. Mom and dad came in. They admonish the son for helping the dog. Then the son plays a prank on the dog. This continues until it stops. Eventually the daughter starts hearing Mary, Mary, like this voice scratching at her back of her psyche or whatever. And then eventually, oh, I forgot to mention this. Grandma has tastefully decorated their room, her room, with just pictures of this woman. It looks like a full grown, it didn't look like a child.
It did not look like a child. Very confused. Yeah, I was also confused.
But they're like, oh, that's Jenny. You know, we're not supposed to have pictures of Jenny. Jenny's gone, right? But well, then the ghost of Jenny shows up and Jenny talks to Mary and she's like, you got to go handle the family now. And Mary's like, okie dokie. And so they murder the grandma with an iguana scare. So here we go. Grandma gets an iguana in the bed. She fucking.
Hold on though. You forgot. Yeah. You skipped past probably my favorite scene in the movie where they do some not so subtle foreshadowing as to why dad and grandma are so fucking weird, where like the dad's like drinking and he's like, have another one. And she's like, how, you know how you get when you drink. And he's like, how do I get it? And then they're like yelling at each other and like.
Oh, his family's highly dysfunctional.
Like, the dad is anyway. The dad is very funny. I don't know why the dad in this reminded me of the dad in Psycho Goreman, but like played straight. Like it was kind of funny.
So anyway, grandma gets iguana to death. They lower her into the ground. Next thing you know, the kids are playing frisbee outside. Frisbee goes up on the roof. Little brother's like, I'll get it. We don't have to bother dad. And he goes climbing up on the roof. And then I guess the phantasm of his dead sister erupts out of a window, sends him crashing to the earth. Next thing you know, he's getting lowered to the ground. And they're at the funeral for some reason, and the people working the funeral pulleys are doing a shit job. And, like, you expect it to be, you know, coffin drop where the body comes falling out of shit wood hitting pavement. Never happens. It's just a weird beat in the film. But now we got a grandma dead, and then within, like, a day and a half, we got a son dead. And so now the sister's, like, losing her mind some more. And then now dad is having a moment. He's having a soak in the tub, like eating caviar, drinking wine, and listening to a ball game. And so the daughter's blow drying her hair, and like the dad asks for the radio to come near the bathtub. And it's just kind of a weird scene in general when you kind of reflect on it.
Yeah,
like, why is she in his personal space at this point? Like,
yeah, is that a normal thing to fucking do your hair while your dad's taking a bath? It's kind of weird.
Absolutely couldn't tell you. Never happened to me.
Is it a normal thing for your dad to take a bath?
Yeah, also that.
God forbid men have hobbies.
Also, why your hobby is taking a bath?
It could be.
Also, like, he's listening to the baseball game with the radio, like, on the bathtub, like.
Well, it's on the counter, then she moves it over there because of the sound of the hairdryer. But then she leaves the situation to go downstairs to cut the pizza, and then I guess the phantom, like, drops the radio into the bathtub, and then, like, all the lights flicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Rhoda has put it all together that her daughter's a murderous, like, whatever, because she gets stalked through the house with a pizza cutter, which is one of the scenes that stuck with your boy.
That stuck with you.
Yeah. And then, I forget how she extradites herself in the situation. She, like, throw herself out a window or something. Like, I don't remember. But Rhoda gets away. She doesn't get pizza.
I watched this movie 2 days ago, and I could not tell you. I don't remember at all.
Well, then the movie ends with Mary's in an asylum in a padded room talking to a doctor, and you find out that she's now possessed maybe with the soul of her sister, who recounts the story of all of them being in the family wagon. And dad got a little too looped up drinking with grandma. And then on the way home, the one daughter was tired of the other daughter smacking her upside the head. So she tied her shoelaces together. So then when dad was all boozed up because the grandma likes to party, he hits a telephone pole. Everyone gets out of the car except the one sister whose shoelaces are tied together. And then, like, on the way out, like, the other daughter, like, inexplicably actually shuts the door in her face to lock her into the car. And then everyone turns around to see her face at the window, which is the other part of this that stuck with me forever. And then the car explodes. And then that sets the Wraith off onto its journey. But here's the deal. Everyone looks the same age. So literally, it seems like this happened 2 weeks ago. Like, this could not have been – this wasn't years ago. This wasn't a decade old. Like, everyone is the same Yeah, there was no time for that wound to heal.
It felt like, this was like the murder took place. Like this happened literally before they were driving to this other house.
It was like the murder happened on the way here. Like, yeah, they stopped and got another car. And then they went. And then at the very end, like they're like, Rhoda sees the ghost of her dead daughter, and Rhoda didn't do shit. She didn't do anything wrong. Like,
yeah. Also,
there's
no reason
for revengeance on
the
her.
The daughter during the movie is seeing this child psychologist, and after the daughter tries to kill the mom, the doctor is with the. And keep in mind
that plot.
Keep in mind that the whole family is dead except for the daughter and the mother, and the daughter just tried to kill the mother, and the child psychologist is like, oh, don't worry, she's going to be with you again soon. It's like, what? Like, he's totally discounting the fact that there's been, like, just a systematic decimation of this family. He's like, oh, no, she'll be fine. You'll be with her, no problem. It's like, what?
And that child psychologist guy was like, he was somebody. Like, I've seen that dude's face before.
You're probably TV.
Like, he wasn't Judge Smales, but he looked like Judge Smales.
Judge Smales.
From Caddyshack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Robert Weber's his name. He was in...
He invented the Weber grill.
That's a flex. Shout out to the guy who invented the Weber grill.
Hell yeah.
But that's it. That's the whole thing. It was weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
It was weird and bad. It was it paced incredibly, like
pacing was insane.
The pacing was like out of this world, and the act, like, you know, this is like a relic of the past, right? Because you really don't. I don't watch like Lifetime or like the Hallmark Channel. I guess you still get like that kind of quality in those venues, but like. Like the cable isn't like this anymore. Like regular TV, like, you know, all the streaming platforms that have their own original content, like, while some of it is bad, see, it's what's inside. It's still like professional level quality. Like, I don't know. This is like, I don't know. There was such a line in the sand between like television and movies back then. And like, this is why like this shit was, I don't even know, man. Like it was so. It was so bad, like, executionally it was terrible.
Its production levels were about on the same par as, like, porno of the same era.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, it was just, like, and, like, no direction, really. No, like, cinematography. Like, it was just...
That was the direction. Poor for a movie, great for a porno.
It was, I mean, Alec, was your favorite part of the movie all the deaths that took place off screen?
No. My favorite part was the high quality of camera that they used.
Yeah.
Like, even for a movie from 1982, this looks like dog shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't think if we got, like, a pristine version of this movie, it would have looked much better.
It like was Jaws, in black Jaws and white. Came out like 7 years before this.
Like the movie wasn't in black and white, right? Because it feels like it was.
No, it's just so like washed out that you can't even tell.
Yeah, it was really bad. But I mean, I think the file quality on it was like 480p. But like I said, even if we had like a, I don't know, maybe if like Shout Factory puts out a restoration, maybe I'll change my mind. But
why waste the time?
Yeah. I'd love to know.
Of course, then you'd have a million idiot douchebag film nerds. Like, oh, this is such a great classic.
Yeah, this is like a horror classic, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, the internet guy that hosted the segments that we watched, I mean, he found this movie and rebroadcast it for whatever reason, so.
Dodge is probably ready. Probably found it. He could broadcast it for free because he knows nobody is coming after him for showing this.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's probably like, a million of these, you know what I mean? Like there's probably a ton of these kinds of movies out there.
And now people are going to hear our episode and be like, oh, well, movie, the podcast just copied off of Dr.
Right.
Dr. Dracula or whatever.
Dingle ass.
Dr. Dingle ass. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. This movie was rough sailing.
PB Guy gave it 3 out of 5 stars.
Really? 3 out of 5. TV Guide.
Maitland McDonough of TV Guide gave it 3 out of 5 stars, calling it a tight, genuinely scary, made-for-TV thriller.
Well, people had different expectations back then.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was 1982.
This is on like right after Matlock or whatever.
Right.
Matlock.
Did y'all see that they're relaunching Matlock and it's woke?
They already have.
It's woke now. Yeah, it's woke. Woke Matlock.
Is her name still Matlock?
Yeah. I don't care that it's woke. Why even bother?
I mean,
the new Matlock.
I don't care that it's woke either. I was making a joke. A woke
I know, but joke. Like, ooh, the old woke joke.
Yeah, why? Well, who gives a who is clamoring for Matlock? Like, who's like, speaking, oh, I need...
Yeah, all the people who liked the original Matlock are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and if they, and any of them that are left aren't woke, they're not going to be happy about this at all. Yeah.
A woman, Matlock.
Just dig up, who used to play Matlock?
Andy Griffith. Is he still alive?
Yeah, dig him up.
Is he dead or is he alive?
He's gotta be dead.
Dick Van Dyke's still alive, isn't he?
I thought.
And they're contemporaries.
Dick Van Dyke is like
Griffith, 90.
Andy Griffith died in 2012.
No shit. He been dead. At the ripe old age of, he died at 86.
How old is Dick Van Dyke? He's gotta be like 100.
The old DVD?
He's 98. He was born in 1925. Oh my god.
Still kicking.
He's still Dick around. Van Dyke show.
Now, if he makes to 100.
One of the rare Good Family Guy jokes is when they said starring it was blank. They did the TV censorship. It was like starring blank Van blank. all right, five knuckle shuffle time. Gogs.
I mean, I'm gonna give it a 4. Oof. I mean, listen, it's not good, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to look through it for the perspective of what they had to work with, right? They're working with ABC. They can only do so much, right? I got to give it some points for the fact that it hung with me. I'm 44 years old this year. Like, it's been with me since sometime for the last 30 years somehow. Like, it's hung with me. So there's gotta be some credit given there. I don't know why it hung with me. I think it's just very bizarre visuals that hung with me. Once again, never saw a pizza cutter used menacingly. And they even like talk about how sharp the pizza cutter is. It's like digging into the walls and the banister and shit. I've never sharpened a pizza cutter. Never thought to, quite frankly.
I'll tell you what, those newfangled pizza cutters look menacing.
The ones that look like the Klingon sword?
Yeah, they look like the old Klingon weapons.
Yeah. But no, it's not good, and it's not well made, and it's too long.
And everybody died, and I'm gonna give it a 4.
And I'm gonna give it a 4. So there we are. It's not, you know, but now I have closure. Now I can say that I've seen it again, and I know. Because in the back of my head, I've always been like, what was that? And was it any good? And why is it still with me? So, you know, thank you guys for taking this journey with me for a little bit of a mental peace.
If that's the least we can do, you know what I mean? We've done something.
It probably is. Alec?
It's a 0. Like,
oh,
this isn't even a movie. Like,
not even a movie, raves Alec.
It's, the acting is horrendous. The quality of the movie is horrendous. The script is horrendous. Everything about it is horrendous.
The lighting was like bark.
Yeah. The cinematography was rough. yeah, like this is like below like Shark Exorcist and things like that. Cause at least that was funny.
Yeah, that was
even
funny.
Though it's awful funny, it's still funny. Like,
and it had that,
about like there's nothing that, about this. Like even the scenes that made no sense, I wasn't like chuckling, like, oh, that's fucking weird. I was like, oh god.
Yeah.
nothing goes together here. Yeah, it was awful. I'm glad I watched it at I got it banged out in an hour.
Yeah, I envy you.
With my time speed. Every shitty movie, I'm going to start looking up on YouTube. And It makes it a little better because everybody does the Benny Hill thing. Like walking real fast, talking real fast.
You need to open two browsers and then on the one browser, put the Benny Hill theme on the YouTube and then play it. I believe that song's called Yakety Sax, but
I think you're right.
But
not the version that has words.
There's a version with words?
Oh, no, that's just Yakety Yak. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. Don't talk back.
Yeah, don't talk back. TJ.
It's a zero. It's fucking awful. It's a zero for me, dog. I mean, my favorite parts of this movie weren't even the movie. Like I said, I was fascinated by that fucking goober that was like I couldn't stop thinking. After the movie was over, I couldn't stop thinking about this guy. I'm like, what compels somebody with like no stage presence whatsoever? And he wasn't even good at like reading. Like, you know what I mean? Like you could tell he was like reading off of a script and he was bad at that. And it's like,
On this guy to even put himself out there.
I mean, I understand the format, right? Like I, you know, in another life, I would love to host something like this. You know what I mean? I think I could do a pretty good job. I think it'd be fun. You know what I mean? Like I, you know, be like a Joe Bob's Briggs or a, you know, some that kind of thing. This guy had nothing. No material, no stage presence, no juice. He had a puppet. He didn't use it. I was fascinated by this man. I was fat, but then the movie started and it was like, oh, and I mean, it's like every aspect of this movie is terrible. And like, there's nothing about it that's like clever or interesting or nuanced or even like, to the point where it's like, it's really poorly made, but like not in a fun way. Like it's not like edited in the wrong direction or like, you know what I mean? Like things are in sequence. It's just really flat and boring. And I don't know, man. Like it was rough. And I'm glad that we've moved past like TV movies. Like I kind of was excited to watch this just because I wanted to be reminded what this kind of shit was like, because I do remember a time where as a young child, cause I didn't get cable until, I don't think we had cable in the house until like middle school, maybe late middle school, if I remember correctly. So like so for years as a TV watching child, I was stuck with just regular ass TV. And like Gog said, there was like Creature Feature and Kung Fu Theater and stuff like that. And they just show like movies like this. You know what I mean? And I probably watched it like this all the time because there was nothing else to watch. So it was fun to be reminded of the hellscape that TV used to be. But yeah, it was rough, man. It tasted like bark. it felt kind of chewy. Like I don't know. What is next month? November.
What is next month?
Do we have a November?
I don't know. Hang on. I can't remember if we came up with one or not. Bark. No, I don't have anything listed.
We could do Happy Honda Days and it's all movies about cars.
Yeah, that's more about Christmas theme, is it not? My family celebrates Toyota-thon.
Thanksgiving marks off the holiday season. So also, we're literally coming off of Scary Movie October. So you really start.
Fine. I mean,
I don't know. That was the first thing that came to my head. So
Slowvember, all slow burn movies.
No. Oh God, no. It's not bad. It's not bad, but I don't know. What about Movember?
Pitch it to me. Give me something.
Movies with characters named Mo.
Oh God.
Or starring people.
We're in Missouri. Films in Missouri.
Shit. thanks. Let's see. Thanksgiving is next month, so.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
I got one.
It's all like action movies where people get shot.
Ooh. How about Tanksgiving? All tank based films. We can watch Fury.
It's okay. That's one.
We can watch, what's the one where Denzel Washington's in a tank?
What?
Yeah, he's giving out the Medal of Honor.
All right, now move past it.
Fine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shanksgiving, movies in prison.
Movies people get stabbed.
Yeah.
We already did that. We did that, or no?
Well, it's
I think we sentence. Did. I think we did Thanksgiving. We did a prison movie month in November.
Damn. Oh, Jesus.
But technically, it's a new name.
I like it. And it doesn't have to be prison movies. You could also be just movies where people get stabbed. Someone has to
be stabbed at some point.
Well, let's see.
But, Cranksgiving. We can watch at least some crank movies.
There's only two. There's two crank movies.
Are there
movies.
Three?
No, there's only two.
Spanksgiving. We watch like Cinemax movies.
Walk the Planksgiving, all pirate movies.
Not bad. I don't hate it. I don't hate that.
So I mean, you watch, are there pirates in Master and Commander? That movie's like 5 hours long.
I mean, it's nautical related, so I'd allow it.
Yeah.
Planksgiving?
Yeah, Planksgiving.
Either pirate movies or yoga-based movies.
Yeah, right.
But really, the Planksgiving could be extended to just nautical. Anything on a boat.
Anything Ooh. On a boat, or anything with a board, really.
Yes. I'll go with it. I like it. Does anybody have a pick for Planksgiving? Gods, do you have a pick since you just came up with it?
I will shortly. Give me 2 seconds.
All right.
We are gonna watch. What are we gonna watch? Captain Phillips.
Oh my God!
Is that a
no?
The Tom Hanks.
I'm the captain
pirate,
now.
Pirate movie.
Oh, that movie. Why did I? Oh, I was thinking of Captain Ron. The
Kurt Russell. Oh, the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn.
We watch Captain Ron. I'll watch Captain Ron.
All right. I mean, it's your pick. I don't care.
Actually, no, run it back. I don't know if this falls under too good or not. Robin Williams.
We don't have the too good rule anymore. We haven't had it for years. I would love to watch Hook. I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
Hook. Bob Hoskins.
Ooh.
All right.
Mangarang.
I remember loving Hook.
I saw that movie at least 2 or 3 times in the theaters.
Yeah, me too.
As like an 11-year-old or however old we were when it came out.
The advertising push for that had it had its own cereal. It had toys.
Didn't it not do well? I think it was like. Am I wrong in remembering that? I think it did not.
It might not have lived up to the marketing because like I'm saying, they threw a ton of money at it.
For some reason, I thought Hook was like a box office disappointment.
But it's like it's Steven Spielberg directs it. It's Robin Williams, Julia Roberts, Dustin Hoffman, Bob the cast is insane.
You know the one pirate in that? The one that they throw off the plank?
The one
that they throw into the scary box or whatever?
The boo box.
Is Glenn Close.
Oh, no shit.
Kidding.
Yeah.
So Hook, it was considered a financial disappointment despite making a profit of $50 million.
God.
In the late 80s.
This is in 1991. They spent $70 million to make that movie.
Wikipedia says a budget of 70, but a box office of 300. That's a certified hit.
No. Worldwide gross, and that's all said and done. So, you know, like, it still made a profit of $50 million. So it's not I guess they expected it to be a huge hit. Its opening weekend was $13 million, which is pretty low. I guess that's why.
I guess. I wonder what it opened against, like, Home Alone.
Also, that movie did very well on home video. I know that. That's one of those, like...
Home Alone was not supposed to be a big hit. And then it became, like, the biggest hit of all time. I wonder if...
We couldn't get it out of theaters. It ran from Thanksgiving until Valentine's Day.
Like, yeah. It made a lot of money. I don't know. But again, like, I remember, I just remember always hearing it was a box office disappointment, but
it got nominated 5 Oscars.
I'm really looking forward to watching it, to be honest. I haven't seen
it. John Williams did the score. Oh man, I'm pumped. Let's go.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid, so I'm looking forward to it. All right.
The guy who plays Rufio, I see him on TikTok. He still does like the Comic-Con circuits.
Yeah, that guy was at, a local show a couple years ago, Awesome Con, and he does voice acting now or something, but it was pretty cool. I can't talk anymore. All right.
Prince Zuko if you watch Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah. That's right. All right. Well, Hook next week for, Plankvember, Planksgiving. I really don't know what I'm going to pick, but remember, just nautical themes. So
nautical. Hunt for the Red October counts.
I'm going to make us watch that Robert Redford movie again.
Again.
Where he's by himself the whole time.
I like that movie.
I like him too.
I didn't care for it.
That was a 2v2, a typical 2v2.
Does 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea count?
Yes. Dude, Ned Land is a piece fucking boat.
I might have to pick that.
Did they ever make an updated one like they did with the Time Machine?
Yes.
The Time Machine got that one hole. With the...
What?
Well, no. I mean, the same exact story.
Oh.
Because like the Time Machine got the newer one that had Guy Ritchie in it from like 2000. And that movie is ridiculous.
I've never seen it. All right, anybody. Let's get out of here and watch the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the New York Giants.
Hey, yo.
Well, maybe the Giants will win. Who knows?
Someone has to.
Technically,
they don't have to.
Donovan McNabb both don't realize regular season football games can end in ties.
Neither of us have a Super Bowl ring either, so
All right, everybody, that's the show. See y'all later. You know what to do with that ass. Eat it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.